Welcome to Enclave on Air. I'm your host today, Jax DiEugenio. Enclave on Air is a podcast from Enclave, which provides oncology professionals with the resources and information they need to provide the best patient care. In both digital and print formats, Enclave covers every angle of oncology practice, from new technology to treatment advances to important regulatory decisions. In today's episode, we invited experts from across oncology specialties to discuss the abstracts and presentations they are most looking forward to seeing at the 2024 ESMO Congress. Emory Yekedutz, MD, an associate professor of medical oncology at Ankara University in Turkey and a research fellow at Dana-Farber Cancer Institute in Boston, Massachusetts, shared insights on his latest work in gastrointestinal malignancies, particularly in pancreatic and colorectal cancer. Tach Zhao Trung, MD, a hematologist and medical oncologist at the Cleveland Clinic in Ohio, who specializes in skin cancers including basal cell carcinoma, melanoma, and Merkel cell carcinoma, highlighted her recent findings in targeted therapies for advanced skin cancers. John H. Strickler, MD, an associate professor of medicine in the Division of Medical Oncology at Duke University in Durham, North Carolina, emphasized key updates in the treatment of gastroesophageal malignancies where he sees significant progress on the horizon. David Spiegel, MD, Chief Scientific Officer and Medical Oncologist at Sarah Cannon Research Institute in Nashville, Tennessee, discussed the expanding clinical trial program he oversees, ensuring patients have access to cutting-edge therapies. Finally, Paolo Tarantino, MD, a researcher at the European Institute of Oncology and clinical research fellow at Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, focused on advancements in breast cancer research, particularly in HER2-directed therapies and antibody-drug conjugates.
Yeah, actually, we are excited about the ESMO 24. We are kind of counting down and the last days. So that will be a great scientific meeting again. We are waiting for many practice-changing trials. They are on the way for all tumor types, but especially in GU. When we look at the GU abstracts, especially I would like to draw your attention to Niagara trial. This is a phase 3 trial that compared the adjuvant durvalumab plus cisplatin-based chemotherapy and then adjuvant durvalumab after cystectomy versus neoadjuvant gemcitabine plus cisplatin. And so this will be a practice-changing presentation by Tom Powell, as usual, in the presidential symposium of the Congress. So actually, the company announced that this trial met primary endpoint, event-free survival, and also prolonged overall survival. And this is really great for our patients because for a long time, neoadjuvant chemotherapy is the standard approach. Our patients, muscle invasive bladder cancer patients. And so we are waiting for the full data and we will see the results. We are also excited the adverse events and the hazard ratio. So we are waiting and we will see it together. And we are waiting, clapping again, Tom Powell on stage. So we'll see the results.
Melanoma has really led the field in long-term stage 4 survivorship. That didn't exist before the advent of checkpoint inhibitors. And so this year, there will be a companion reporting of both the 10-year data of KEYNOTE-006 as well as CheckMate-067. This will be our longest follow-up to date. And no matter what it will say, it will be very exciting. I look forward to informing our future discussions with patients as well as treatment decisions.
We are presenting data for AB400, talusotuzumab, and exatecan for patients with advanced metastatic gastroesophageal adenocarcinoma. We know that c-MET is an important target for these patients, that this antibody-drug conjugate is an effective therapy. This abstract and poster just points to some of that safety, tolerability, and activity data, and I think shows that this is a promising therapy that warrants further investigation in the context of larger randomized trials.
There's a lot. There's some updates in terms of things, including the ADRAG study. There's some updates in several studies looking at the targeted space. So like KRAS, we heard about some excitement at ASCO. with a drug called adagrasib. So in the KRAS G12C space, selfishly, I'm excited to share some results with anti-TIGIT strategy in lung cancer. But look, I think there's a lot at ESMO across malignancies, certainly in lung cancer.
There's, as usual, plenty of interesting abstracts, but I think three stand out among the others. And the first one is the overall survival from KEYNOTE-522. That is one of the most important trials in triple-negative breast cancer in recent years that looked at the addition of pembrolizumab immunotherapy to neoadjuvant and adjuvant chemotherapy for triple-negative breast cancer. So to date, we knew that pembro improved current disease-free survival, disease-free survival. We just didn't have overall survival data. And now we've heard the press release that overall survival is positive, but we really want to see the data. And I think also the subgroup analysis from this trial will be important. So this will be presented by Peter Schmidt and during the plenary session of ESMO. So overall survival is the most meaningful endpoint. And it's really what we want to do with our treatments, improving the length of survival of patients. And then it also takes into account the impact on treatment, not only on the tumor, but also on the patient. And so we know that, of course, reducing the risk of recurrence of the tumor is important, but we also want to know if the toxicities of pembrolizumab actually end up in a shortened lifespan for the patient. So we want overall survival kind of takes into account everything, not only the reduction in the risk of recurrence, but also the toxicity profile of the drug and also any other thing that may actually impact the length of life of patients. So whenever we give a treatment, overall survival is the most meaningful endpoint. We cannot power all trials on overall survival because it takes a long time to obtain these results. But I think the fact that the overall survival is positive in the trial kind of confirms that approving the drug based on DFS was a good idea because it was approved already for several years. The patients could benefit from it. And now we can confirm that it has a positive impact on OS. Second, I think it's going to be very interesting to look at the first presentation of the results of Destiny Breast 12 by Nancy Lin at the conference. And this was basically a phase 3b/4 trial looking at trastuzumab deruxtecan in an expanded population of patients with HER2-positive metastatic breast cancer, including a large cohort of patients with brain metastasis, 250 patients with brain metastasis. And we still don't have enough data on this population. We have some small studies, Tuxedo, Debra, but I think having a large cohort of patients with brain mets will really help to understand how these patients do with T-DXd, what is response rate, PFS, and all that. I think it will be important to look at this. After first-line Cleopatra regimen, taxane, trastuzumab, pertuzumab, the second line for patients with HER2-positive breast cancer is usually considered to be T-DXd, but among patients that have brain metastasis, there is still the doubt if to prefer T-DXd or the tucatinib triplet, because the tucatinib triplet was tested in a large population of patients with brain metastasis. It showed improved overall survival. But in truth, there is starting to be some confidence also with utilizing T-DXd in the second line, even for patients with brain metastasis. And so this Destiny Breast 12 could further reinforce the idea that even among patients that have brain metastasis, either stable or progressing brain metastasis, maybe T-DXd can still have a role in the second line and the tucatinib triplet can be left to the third line. And finally, one of the third abstract, I think it will be very important, is the four-year update of NATALEE. This was the trial that looked at adjuvant ribociclib for stage 2 and 3 hormone receptor positive breast cancer. And we previously saw that with about 3-year follow-up, there was a significant benefit in recurrence outcomes, but about more than 20% of the patients were still receiving ribociclib at the prior update. So I think this time around, no patient will be still on ribo, and everybody's very interested at looking what happens after ribo is discontinued, if the benefit is maintained or is lost. I don't really think that the results of NATALEE will impact whatever we do with abemaciclib, and of course not with palbociclib that I don't think for some time we will use in the adjuvant setting. So I think it will only affect ribociclib, but it will be very important. Like, I think all eyes are on this because it will have important implications. It's a very large population of patients. It's the most common population of patients with breast cancer we see in the clinic, stage 2 and 3, or hormone-receptor positive breast cancer. And if this update confirms a benefit with adjuvant ribo, I think, and also if the FDA approves this option, I think deals will start to be used among many patients in absolute numbers in the clinic. This will be presented by Peter Fasching at ESMO. It will be very important. Of course, there's many others, but these are my top three.
That's all we have for today. Thank you for listening to this episode of Enclave on Air. Check back on Mondays and Thursdays for exclusive interviews with leading experts in the oncology field. For more updates in oncology, be sure to visit www.enclave.com and sign up for our e-newsletters. Enclave is also on social media. On Twitter, follow us at Enclave. On Facebook, like us at Enclave and follow our Enclave page on LinkedIn. If you like today's episode of Enclave on Air, please consider subscribing to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, and many of your other favorite podcast platforms so you get a notification every time a new podcast is posted. While you're there, please take a moment to rate us. Thank you again for listening to Enclave on Air.